want to teach on the Holy Spirit tonight and what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to begin by way of a review of a message I preached on Sunday morning 2 weeks ago. And we began in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 11. And I'm making a point, and it'll seem repetitive and perhaps hopefully not too burdensome. I'm making a point that we are all fully indwelt by the Holy Spirit the moment we believe on Jesus Christ. That one statement, that you are fully indwelt by the Holy Spirit the moment you believe, corrects a tremendous amount of heresy and error that is present in other views, or in particularly the Pentecostal movement. So let's begin with the word of prayer, and let's see where the Lord takes us. Father, I pray now that you would use your word and give me freedom and liberty to be empowered by thy Spirit so that we might discard anything that is hindering the full movement of thy Spirit in our life, and that we might truly know what it is to be filled by thy Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If the truth be known, when most of us have read or have been exposed to some form of teaching on the Holy Spirit, that goes something like this. You're going along in your Christian life, and there's some barrenness, some coldness. There's a part of your spiritual life that just doesn't have the richness and the fullness that it should have. And then it wrongly teaches, well, the reason for this is the Holy Spirit has not come to you. That there needs to be a sense of agonizing. And they wrongly sense there needs to be this sense of waiting for the Spirit to come. Perhaps they will quote revivals. Perhaps they will quote different movements of the Holy Spirit and some reviving in time past and say they waited and then the Holy Spirit came with this incredible force and power, and they were transformed, and the whole city was transformed, and scores of people were saved. And the entire emphasis on that is that when you got saved, you didn't really get all the Spirit. There's something that you needed to get later. At some point, after you get saved, they wrongly teach, at this later point, through waiting and agonizing, it comes. It happens. It's the latter rain. It's the refreshing of the Spirit, and it changes everything. One core truth that I hope we get, if nothing else, is that when you believed on the Holy Spirit, you were immediately and forever indwelt by that Holy Spirit. It is really crucial. It's exceedingly simple, but it has been perverted and twisted in 100 different ways. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 7, we'll be in Romans mostly tonight. Just by way of a quick review, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, he is speaking to a saved person. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 are dealing with the believer and the struggle with the old nature now that they are saved or redeemed. And he's telling them that old nature, the carnal mind, is at odds with God. It's not subject to God and his law and never will be. And then he goes on and he makes an even stronger point, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In your old nature, in your old ways, if you're carnal and you're yielding to it, you've essentially made yourself a slave to the old nature, and you're just acting out of that older nature, and you're not really pleasing to God. You can't be pleasing to God in the old nature, in the old part of you. So if you're yielding to that and that old nature is having control in your life, you're thinking a certain way, You're making decisions a certain way. You're acting a certain way because of the old nature. You're yielding. You're controlled by that old nature. And then in verse number 9, he says, but wait a minute. I want to be really clear here. I'm not talking about an unsaved person. So he says in verse number 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He's just making sure there's no misunderstanding. He's saying you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, because now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Very strong point. You can be in the flesh, but you have the spirit. You could be really, really carnal, really, really fleshly, really involved in some pretty dirty stuff or whatever. But you still have the spirit. He's grieved, but he is present. He is there. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are none of his. So anyone that does not have the Spirit of God is simply unsaved. Every believer is in full possession of the Holy Spirit. Literally, the Holy Spirit has indwelt them, is living within them. So all believers know the influence of the Spirit. One of the key signs that you're actually born again is the Holy Spirit leads you. The Holy Spirit helps you. The Holy Spirit influences you. He's there. He's present in your life. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. So somebody who's habitually in sin, they may say they're saved, they may come to church, but if they are in sin habitually, continually, constantly, there's no conviction of the Spirit, there's no rebuke by God, they're of the devil, they're unsaved. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was made known. He was manifested. He was revealed. That he might destroy the works of the devil. So God has come to change our world and change it through the people that he has redeemed. But if we're at the life of an unsaved person, it shows who our Father is. But then in verse number 9, he says something very interesting. Whosoever is born of God doth not habitually commit sin. They doth not commit sin, literally. The seed, the Holy Spirit, the new nature remaineth in him. And he cannot sin or continue in sin because he's born of God. So if you're a believer, you may go through some valleys. You might come back up to the mountain. You might go right back down to the valley and another valley, but then back up to the mountain. And all along that journey, the Holy Spirit is present. He's working. He's inside you. He's filling you. From time to time, you're yielding to him, and he's empowering you. There could be quite a bit of time before a filling. I mean, we could be pretty carnal for a period of time, but if there's always a conviction. We always know it's not right, and we're kind of coming back. We're coming back. There's that battle in a believer. So if there's the battle there between the pulling of the Spirit and the pulling of the old nature, that's a sure sign you're saved. That means you are saved. It's not just your old conscience and your mind, but the Holy Spirit and that new nature are competing, literally vying for control of you and your heart. So to be begging and pleading for the Holy Spirit to come, Holy Spirit, come and knock me over, overwhelm me, it's silly. It's ridiculous. You're indwelt. All you have to do is yield to the Holy Spirit who is indwelt. That is really, really important. See, if you're in here and you've never been around Pentecostalism, you've never actually been taught that teaching, what I'm saying makes sense? Yeah, it's reasonable. But if you've been around that, there's a whole stream that goes there. And I'm simply saying, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to beg and wait and plead, but you have to surrender to him. Yield to him, and he will fill you. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 16. All believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16. So every believer is the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So what does that mean? He's there. The Holy Spirit is present in your heart right now. If you are redeemed, He is there. Even during preaching, the Holy Spirit will use that. He'll make application to your life. He might encourage, He might convict, He might strengthen, He might reveal, He might guide. He's there. He's indwelling, wanting to empower. And the thing that is holding you back, and the thing that is keeping you from being filled with the Holy Spirit, is simply your surrender. Being filled is a complete and unconditional surrender of your life to God. It is absolute. Being filled means you are yielding every part, every corner, every lingering thought, intention, lust, whatever. Everything is unconditionally surrendered to God. And it has a direct intention of obedience, an outcome of wanting to obey whatever it is that God has revealed in His Word. That's the condition for filling. That whenever you in your life come to that place of, God, I surrender. Lord, You've been on me about this, Lord. You've been showing me. You've been teaching me, God. All right, I give in. God, Your will, Your way, what You want, the way that You're leading, I surrender to that completely, unreservedly, absolutely. He is God. You are His servant. He knows better, and it is His will that you are following, that you are executing, essentially, in your life. So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit enters. When you get filled, the Holy Spirit takes full possession. Makes sense? When you get saved, the Holy Spirit, He comes in. But when you get filled, it means that he has literally now taken control of your life. He's now filled you. And now you are in a different really zone, in a sense. You are a Spirit-filled woman. You are a Spirit-filled man. So when that happens, that Holy Spirit never leaves. He's always there, convicting, always wanting to have control, always wanting to fill that new nature. But did the old life go out? Did the old life disappear when you got saved? No. The old life is present. He's always there. He's always good. So when you're filled and you are really on top of the world, I mean, you are filled, you are yielded, you are surrendered, you've been soaking in the Word. I mean, you have been praying passionately, possibly fasting. And I mean, you're walking in the Spirit. That old nature is still there. He doesn't go out. He's still present. He is still present there. And as long as you're yielding and subjecting to that new nature which the Holy Spirit is infilling, you'll literally be led by that. You'll be empowered by that so long as you remain in that place of unconditional surrender, intent on doing His will and obeying His Word. So when there are areas in our life that are unsurrendered, that hinders the filling of the Spirit. When there are parts of our life that we know are not where the Lord wants us to be, there's things that we're doing, there's places we're going, there's thoughts that we're holding that are not where the Spirit would have us be. We're grieving the Spirit. He can't fill us. He can't produce His fruit in us. He can't bring forth what He wants to bring forth. So in each of us, there's a war going on. The flesh, it's your old nature, the old man. It'll go back and forth. They'll call flesh, old nature, old man, synonymous. They mean the same thing. It's the old nature. It's lusting against the Spirit, literally for control of you. And it's fed by your eye, by the desire for possessions, the desire for power, desire for carnal-based passion. Those are the gates it's coming through. It's lusting against the Spirit. So if you're watching things that are bringing out those things in you, reading things that are bringing this in you, you're in the flesh. The flesh is assuming that control in your life. But the Spirit, He's warring against the flesh. When you empower yourself through reading and meditating on Scripture, that's why we do the Bible memory. What I'm trying to do is get people to memorize Scripture, to start reading it and actually committing it to memory. So you're cooking, you're growing strong in the Spirit, and that wars against the flesh. Now, it's not 50-50. In other words, you're not half unsaved man and half saved. You're actually new. That's your default position. You're a new woman, new man, and you are in the Spirit who empowers you, and that Holy Spirit is what's in control now. It's only when you yield to the old nature that He's actually in control. Your normal position is that you are saved. Look with me in Romans 6 and verse number 11. Romans 6. So, what is the problem? It is no longer whether or not you have the Holy Spirit. You have Him. Is which nature are you going to yield to and allow to control and fill you? How will we know abundance of the fullness of the Spirit? We will allow one of those natures to control us. So likewise, reckon, add it up, compute it, by faith accept it. Ye also, yourselves are dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto through Jesus Christ, unto God, excuse me, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So to reckon is to trust. God has declared it, I accept it, I believe it, I am now before Him as someone who is dead to the old nature and alive unto God. Reckon it to be true. Account it to be true. So you approach it as one who knows they are saved, knows they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, knows that they have a new nature, and you accept and approach life from that platform and that position. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So literally, don't allow sin to dwell anywhere within your members. And it means that you're keeping your spiritual life pretty tidy. You're keeping your spiritual life pretty clean. It means that if you're walking in the Spirit, you're pulled back from those parts of life that are carnal, that are fleshly. You're back. You're pulled away from that part or that portion of your life. Let not sin, therefore, reign, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So if you're a believer, you're a lot more sensitive. I mean, if you're an unbeliever or somebody who's really, really carnal, they're just kind of around things that are, they'll go into a pub and they'll do, you know, just do a lot of these different things. If you're a believer, you have this idea of this kind of radar where you see the sin that's around you. You just have that sense that it's there. And when you do, you're like pulling back, pulling away from that. And that radar also senses the presence of God, the work of God, and it moves towards that. It's constantly moving and sensing what we should be pulling back from, what we should be moving towards in our life. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. To yield means to give way, to allow to go first, literally to have control or authority in your life. Romans 6, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as a weapon to commit unrighteousness and move into sin. That word members is an interesting word. And the word literally is not referring to the different parts of your body, your eye, your tongue, your hand. Your members is referring to your nature, to the you, to your soul. The parts of the human nature which sin may use as a weapon to commit greater sin. So neither yield you your members, you, your person, as a weapon to do unrighteousness and to do sin. What does he say? But then again, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So literally, let your members become something that is used in the will of God to accomplish the purposes of God. He's talking about organizing your life under God's dominion, under his sovereignty, recognizing that God is in control, that he owns me, that he has a will for my life, and I'm coming to him and I'm allowing him to have that absolute control in my life so that he can use me as he wants to accomplish righteousness. So let your soul and body be empowered of the service of the Maker. Let God not only have your heart, but your head, your hands, and your feet. Think and devise what is pure, speak what is true, and use what builds and edifies. Work what is just and good, and walk steadily in the way of everlasting obedience and joy. Use your different parts so that God can lead to righteousness. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, what does that mean? You're not under the law, but under grace. Someone who is unsaved is under law. They only know law. Law reveals their sin. It shows them where they're at with God. You are born again, and grace is reigning. Your salvation can never be lost. It can never be taken away. You're under grace, God's favor. No matter where you are, no matter what you find yourself in to a part of, you're under grace. He's present. The Holy Spirit is indwelling. So remember that, he says, you're not under law. You're under grace. What then? Verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Verse 15, what does he mean by that? Well, it's really simple. That when you start figuring out that you're truly under grace, well, then you realize that I am under grace. I can do what I want. I could go have a beer. Ah, who likes beer? Ah, hate that. You could do something that's kind of off color. You're under grace. God's not going to cast you out of heaven. He's not going to say, I don't own you. I don't know you. I don't want you. No, you're under grace. You're redeemed. You're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. He owns you. But is that a license? Is that a permission to go ahead and lower the standard? Go ahead and get carnal because you are under grace. Well, there's many that teach that, and it's unfortunate. But grace always empowers me to a much higher standard. The law said a tithe, the law said a tenth, but grace is going to lead me to not only give a tenth or a tithe, grace is going to lead me to give a missions offering, a sacrificial missions offering. The law said you're not supposed to kill and hate, and the unsaved man knows hate and all that in your heart is terrible, but we don't do it because we don't want to grieve the Spirit. And I'm going to exceed that. I'm actually going to move into loving my enemy by grace. Do you see where he's going? Did God redeem us? Did the Holy Spirit indwell us? Is our new nature empowered so that we can go lower? Of course not. So if you are under grace, you're going to dress more conservatively, I think. If you're under grace, your music is going to change. Step on some toes here. If you're under grace, come on. You're not going to live like the world around you is living. You're going to rise up, and you are going to be pure in the way that you think. But you're also going to be pure in the way that you dress. You're also going to be pure in the way that you speak. You're not going to use profanity like everybody else around you is using. You're going to be pure in your heart. You're under grace. You're saved. You're redeemed. You have the power and the ability to live a truly holy life that is bringing glory to Almighty God in the midst of the place where you're working, in the midst of the place where you go to school, by the Spirit that is within you, by the power that is manifesting itself through you. You're under grace. Shall we continue in sin? How could we? The Bible said literally, it's like, God forbid. That's like so opposed to what we're doing. So if you're going to a church that has dropped the standard, that is teaching a lower, more carnal way of thinking, a way of living, that is the abuse of grace. It's called antinomianism. And it's wrong. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So don't we know that whatever I present myself to, whichever nature I say, okay, I'm going to follow this nature, I'm going to follow this nature, I'm a slave to that nature. So if I'm coveting something, a piece of gear or whatever, and I'm giving into that, I'm a slave to that. And all of the fruits of the flesh become what's present in me at that point. But if I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit, and I am surrendered to him to completely, absolutely, to do his will, then the fruits of the Spirit, divine peace, joy in every circumstance, that sweetness of spirit, that gentleness, that temperance, that strength to do what you should do when you should do it, those are present in me. Look with me in Ephesians 4 and verse number 22. Ephesians 4 and verse number 22. He speaks of this same thing in a little bit of different language, Ephesians 4 and verse number 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So put off that old man and put on the new man. How? By being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Literally, allow the Holy Spirit to control and renew your thoughts. Renew the way that you think and evaluate life. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So every one of us, we're constantly in a struggle between keeping that old man put off and allowing the new man to remain in control, yielding to the Holy Spirit. So some temptation enters into your life, and you're like, man, well, I'm going to think about that, or whatever. No, you're going to be fleshly. The works of the flesh are going to be present in you. You need to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, to control you, to produce his fruit in and through your life. Every day that's going on in your life. Throughout every, and when you're in school, when you're around different people, you're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the spirit. That's a continual process. So, verse number 17. But God be thanked. Back in Romans 6, verse 17. But God be thanked. You were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you. Literally, you were saved. You were born again. You obeyed the doctrine of salvation. Being then made free from the power of sin. In other words, sin is not the only thing that is ruling within you. Being made be free from sin, like an unsaved man is under sin. Having the power of sin broken in your life. The old man pushed down, pushed back. Literally is what he's saying. You have been made free from that dominion, that domination of sin. And since you are now free from the dominion and the domination of sin, what does he say? You became the servants of righteousness. That's you. That's the default you. So the old nature, he didn't go away. But you are. His power is broken. And you are now a new person. Verse 19 makes this really clear. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. What he's saying is this. I'm being really plain and really, really straightforward here, because your flesh, your old nature is so dark. It is so corrupt. It is so without regulation and so not under the law of God and will never be subject to God because of the infirmity that is in your flesh, which leads to iniquity and onto greater depths of iniquity. What he says in verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members slaves to uncleanness and to iniquity onto iniquity. Even so, now yield your members as a slave to righteousness unto holiness. Do you know what the word holiness means? Separation. That's what the word means. It's the idea of sanctification. It's to be separated from what is defiling. Even as you walk in the Spirit, even as you submit to the leadership of the Spirit, He's separating you from what is unholy. He's separating you from what's impure. He's constantly doing that. He's pulling you away from whatever is impure, whatever is dirty. He's pulling you out and away from that. So now yield, you, your person, you yield yourself to Him so that He can produce that and bring you to that place of holiness. So at any moment, I'm either yielding to that old fleshly nature and being pulled away from God, or I'm being pulled to the Lord. And it all depends on my surrender. The entirety of my surrender. So in every one of your lives, there's a mastery of self. There's a self that's present there. That's the old part of you. That's the old nature. And it wants the mastery. It wants to remain in control. It doesn't want to yield to the Spirit of God. It doesn't want to give way to the Holy Spirit. Now, that mastery of self will allow you many things. The mastery of self will allow you to do many good and noble things. But the one thing that self will never do is will never entirely submit to the Holy Spirit. It will never do that. It will never allow you to come to that place. That self-life is carnal. It is grieving to the Spirit. And it is in a desperate war to keep you from entering in to the empowerment of the Spirit through the surrender of yourself. That's why He says, even so, with the infirmity of flesh, going to uncleanness, iniquity, to greater levels of iniquity, even so, yield yourself. That's your battle. That's going on today. That's going on tomorrow morning. That's going on next week. It's constantly going on. The iniquity of your flesh, which goes from iniquity to greater levels of iniquity, even so, the Holy Spirit's present. Yield yourself unto God and get to greater levels of purity and righteousness in your life. And one of the things we've done with new believers when they get saved is we tell them that you need to read your Bible. That's a good thing. We tell them that you need to pray. That's a good thing. Tell them you need to give. You need to tithe. It's a good thing. We tell them you need to come to church. That's a good thing. But I wonder, how often do we teach them that you've got an old nature and you've been redeemed and now the new nature is what you need to yield to so that you are empowered by the Spirit? And every day, every moment of the day, there needs to be that sense of yielding to Him. As you're going through your life, putting on that new man, yielding to the Spirit. The flesh desperately resists life in the Spirit. It brings all of its forces to a place of resistance from that one act of surrender. This is where the battle gets hot. This is where it gets really difficult. You wonder, why aren't I filled with the Spirit? Because your flesh, self, the mastery of self, it resists that. It'll hinder that. It is when you allow yourself to die, when you allow yourself to literally die so the Spirit can fill you, self begins to fade. The Holy Spirit begins to fill. Is when you say, here, Lord, is my plans and my purposes. Here, Lord, are my desires and my hopes. Accept my will. Accept me, Lord. And you say, whatever you want, Lord, take. Whatever you want me to have, send it. Wherever you would have me to go, lead. Whatever you would have me surrender, reveal. I've come to exchange my purpose in life for thy will. And as soon as you get to that place of surrender to the Spirit of God, where you have yielded absolutely and completely to him, that's when the filling occurs. That's when the Holy Spirit fills you. And that's when the fruit of the Spirit is present. That is when you are subject to the Spirit of God. Literally, he's leading you to righteousness and to greater levels of holiness. He's pulling you that way. It's really a pretty cool thing to be filled with the Spirit. And it's your privilege to be filled with the Spirit. It's the possibility of your life. So your life can be marked by, let's say this, kind of moving. It's a lot of carnality, occasionally yielding to the Holy Spirit, but a lot of the works of the flesh are really present in Galatians 5. Envy and lust and hatred, drunkenness, all of these different works. Well, your life can be marked by the fruit of the Spirit as he's filling you and he's empowering you. So there is no substitute for the act of surrender. You can offer up prayers. You can do 100 other things. You can yield to so many other things. But that is never a substitute for the surrender. So you can become very involved in religious activity. You can become very sacrificial in certain areas of your life. But that is not a substitute of surrendering your heart and your will to God. Of allowing his will to control, allowing his will to be what is guiding you. So the work of surrender is in your hands. It is not something I can do. It is not something that anybody else can do for you. God has saved you. He's atoned for your sin. He is blessed. He's empowered. He's made it possible. And he cannot do this for you. Only you can do that work of surrender. Only you can come to that place of turning your life, your heart, and your will completely over to him. Are you willing to yield your life to the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to allow him to rush in, to fill you, to control you, to walk in the new nature, to walk in the new man? Will you yield your life to that filling? How far are you willing to go in surrender? To what place are you willing to allow God to take you? How far are you willing to allow God to convict you, to give up? Where does it stop in your life? And finally, to be filled, trust God for the filling of the Spirit that has already occurred. The surrender of your life to the Lord becomes a habit of obedience to his will. And that surrender leads to deeper obedience. So the false teaching, which is present here in Ireland and especially in Dublin, says you've not received the gift of the Spirit. And you need to wait for the gift of the Comforter. Then the barrenness and spiritual emptiness will go away. There needs to be the agonizing. There needs to be the all-night prayer meeting. There needs to be all of these extreme measures to get the Spirit to come. But we know that's not true. Not true. It's absolutely not true. The Holy Spirit empowers you. He's present, and he's filling your new nature. So you don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you know the Holy Spirit indwells you. And if you are surrendered to him, you know he is present and beginning to fill you based on that surrendered. You don't have to wait for an emotional response. You don't have to wait for a particular feeling. If you are surrendered, you know the Holy Spirit is present, that he is there, and that he is empowering. Now, there's a difference between the Spirit's indwelling and the Spirit's manifestation, to make that clear. The indwelling means the Holy Spirit's there. Manifestation means he's filled us. But we should never mistake the idea that the Holy Spirit is only there when I am full. Literally, when he's filled me, that means that he is there. No, the Holy Spirit is always there. He became part of you when you were saved. We are gods in Christ. So one of the worst mistakes that any of us can make is to make a test of his fullness to be, or his indwelling to be, a test of fullness. So never do that. Always simply trust that the Holy Spirit is present, that he is working through you, that he is leading you to greater works. So if the Holy Spirit fills you, it could be gradual. If the Holy Spirit fills you, it could be a really powerful filling. It's the Holy Spirit. He is the one who does that work. If the Holy Spirit fills you, it could produce a deep joy, a deep peace. He is the one who's in control. We're just yielding, just trusting him as he does that work within us. So a lot of people spend time thinking about whether or not they're full. How full are they? or to what degree will they be filled? And that's not really profitable. You're saved. You're redeemed. The Holy Spirit is present within you. You've surrendered to him, and now you trust that filling and that empowering in your life. And you trust that he is working in and through you. You trust that he will help you to accomplish what it is that he wants you to accomplish in this world. Remember Romans 6:11, he said, "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And he's saying, just accept that he's working in me, and he will help me to accomplish what it is that he wants me to accomplish. He will help me to fulfill his will and to do the things that he wants me to do. For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he will give you the Holy Spirit, because it is impossible to do the works of God. When he saved you, he had a program. He had a place that he was taking you. There's a journey that he has for you, and the Spirit's empowering is what enables you to take that journey. That was ordained before you were ever even saved. And now I simply trust that working so that he can do what it is that he wants to do in and through my life. So every one of us is in a world that is dark, in a world that has values that really are contrary to what God teaches us is right and wrong in his word. So as you listen to the radio, or if you listen to TV, or you're watching YouTube or wherever, you're getting those attitudes that are contrary. The Holy Spirit, you need his filling. You need his empowering to produce the works that he wants you to produce. You need to be encouraged. You need to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the walk that he has given you. And the way that you do that is, number one, you know that you are indwelt. The Holy Spirit, you're saved. He's here. He is here. He is within you. And then knowing that he is within you, you then yield to the Holy Spirit so that he fills your life. It's a complete surrender. I can't stress that enough. Every part of your life is yielded to him. Everything within your life. There's a sense to where you are yielding completely and absolutely to him to do his will. But as you're doing that, then the possibility of being filled is yours. Then the Holy Spirit can fill you. And he can indwell. I mean, really, really manifest himself in and through your life. But never mistake the fullness of the Spirit that means that he's indwelling you at that point. No, he's indwelling you. The real question is whether you've yielded to him and allowed him to empower you. So how are we willing to go through life? Are we willing to go through life kind of in the old nature, kind of watching things, talking about things, thinking things that really is just part of the old man, the old nature? Or are we willing to embrace that life of really rugged denial to where we say, not my will, nope. Lord, what is your will in this situation? What is your will for my life right here? Lord, where are you leading me? What person do you want me to share gospel with? Lord, what work do you want me to do in my local church? Lord, where are you taking me? Let's pray with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.